the first person who I really believe as they established the local church or began their ministry and created a culture that excluded people was... Hey, welcome back to the Church Made Simple podcast, where we exist to help you kill confusion and simplify how and why you do church. I'm your host, Stephen Kilgore. This is episode 10, and I'm really excited to dive into our topic today. But before we do, if you haven't already, rate and review the podcast. If this is your first time listening, give it a quick run through, but give us a rate and a review. And if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to subscribe, or really wherever you're listening or watching, subscribe to the podcast as well. Help us get this word out there about what we're doing to help churches simplify how and why they do church. So I took a few weeks off from the podcast, if you're an avid listener, if this is brand new to you. And the reason is because there's some ideas that were floating around. In fact, I'll talk about that in this episode. But last episode, we were talking about communicating vision. And I said today in episode 10, we're going to jump into the whole idea of values. We're going to have a conversation about the values of your church, of your organization, of your ministry. This applies to businesses. This applies to anybody, but values are important. At the end of the episode, though, I'm going to update you on what's been going on the past few weeks and some of the pivots I'm going to be making in the podcast and for the podcast going forward. But let's just give a quick recap of what we've established so far. And if you need to, go back and listen to some of these episodes, starting with episode 2 or episode 1, really. But episode 2 really is where we dive in. First thing that we did was we talked about our mission. And we said the mission is why we exist as a church. Why do we exist? What is our purpose as a church? And talked about how you create a mission statement, how you effectively communicate that mission statement, and then how you live it out as a part of your local church. Secondly, we talked about the vision. The vision is where we are going as a church. What is the destination? What's the next stop in our journey? Because really, there is no end destination if you're a church. You just keep on going until Jesus comes back, right? But today we're going to talk about values, and I want to establish what values are. Values are how we accomplish the mission and vision of our church. It's how we accomplish, how we're successful in the mission, why we exist, and how we're successful in our vision, where we're going. How do we get to that next stop in the destination? But the first thing, though, I really want to dive into is this idea about how why values exist and what they are. How are they allocated within your ministry? What does it sound like, feel like, smell like? You know, essentially, values are really all about your culture at your church. It's all about the culture of your church. And so first, I think before we talk about the values and how we create values and how we communicate values and all that, let's just talk about our culture for a second. And I felt like we just need to have a heart-to-heart in this. Culture is such a big deal. Any organization has culture. Everywhere you go has a culture. Your church has a culture right now, whether you believe it or not. But culture is important, but depending on somebody's perception of your church, your ministry, whatever it is, culture can either be a positive or a negative, depending on who's perceiving it. And so I'm going to share with you both sides of this, the positive aspect of culture and the negative aspect of culture, so that you can really comprehend why we need to build values and how we're going to build values into our church. The number one thing I think people miss about culture is that culture is absolutely exclusionary. It is exclusionary. Your culture is built or defined in order to exclude people. And I know everybody's like, well, Stephen, no, we're the church. We are supposed to invite everybody from all kinds of different backgrounds of life. I get that. I understand. But what if I told you the church is actually not meant to be all inclusive? Some of you know what that means, but some of you may not. What I mean by that is the church is not supposed, your local church, let me say it that way, your local church, not the grand church, but the local church is not supposed to be for everybody. You're not for everybody in your community. You can't reach everybody. That's why it's such a beautiful thing that the diversity in the kingdom of God is built around local churches that have different cultures and different backgrounds and different traditions and different progressions. And so we see these beautiful things, you know, woven into the tapestry of the global church. But for the local church, little c local church, your culture is meant to exclude people. And I know that sounds negative, but let me give you some positive examples of this so it'll help you kind of line your mind up with why I'm saying this. The first person who I really believe as they established the local church or began their ministry and created a culture that excluded people was Jesus. Like, Jesus is the ultimate example of what it looks like to build a culture that excludes people. And I wrote this down. He created an exclusionary culture in his ministry. Simply put, go read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. Man, the teachings that Jesus taught, and this is, by the way, this is not a Bible lesson podcast. This is just a conversation around how to make your church simple, but I want to establish this scripturally so we understand. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount was exclusionary. Man, it excluded a lot of people. When people were hearing this, they were like, whoa, this is really super challenging. And throughout scripture, we see that over and over when Jesus began to teach, people began to walk away. Why? Because what he was teaching was creating a culture that said, hey, if you want to follow me, take up your cross daily. Crucify your flesh. Give up your life for me. Hate your mother and your brother and your sister and your father for my sake. Like, he created this culture that said, you can either completely be all in or you will be excluded from what I'm building on the earth. I know, but go read it for yourself. This is how Jesus operated. The gospel itself, the good news of the gospel, is exclusionary. I know we think it's all-inclusive, but it's not. Really, the gospel is offered to everyone. Anybody who's willing to listen to the gospel has the opportunity to receive it, to surrender to it, to repent of their sins. However, we read through the New Testament that if you reject the gospel, what does that mean? You're excluded from the benefits of the gospel. So again, we see the Bible teaching us that culture is meant to be exclusionary. Now, I know that's heavy-handed to start out, but I really want you to understand the importance of how exclusionary your culture needs to be, because this is going to give you the ability to create healthy culture now that you understand it's actually exclusionary, not all-inclusive. So let's talk about how you can build a healthy culture and why a healthy culture should exist. I want to give you just five examples of the benefits of a healthy culture, a healthy exclusionary culture. So number one is a healthy culture will help you exclude those who value preference over purpose. And we've talked about that in previous episodes. Your church should never be preference focused. It should be purpose focused. And your purpose is your mission. And so when you have a healthy culture in your church and people walk in and they sense it and they hear it and they see it being lived out, it excludes those who are going to value their preferences over purpose. Now, again, we're going to offer truth with grace. So someone might come to you and go, I don't like the volume of the music, and I don't like these songs, and I don't like this message, and I don't like the way you dress. And they got all these preferences of how they envision their church should be. And you can always approach them with grace. You can always give them the reason why behind why you do what you do, how you operate a certain way. Doesn't mean they're going to be bought in. But when they feel that that culture is against their preference, that is their green light to go. And let me tell you something. You want fewer and fewer of those people on your team, in your church, causing commotions, causing divisiveness. Not everybody does that. And to be honest, in our church, we have a culture that is purpose over preference, but I still have personal preferences. And guess what I do? Because our culture is built on the mission that we have as a church, I put those aside because the mission is way bigger than me. It's not about my preference. And our culture, in our church, we live that out. We see it, and people quickly catch on to that and realize this may not be the church for me. Why? Because it's not about my preference, and that's okay. Number two, a healthy culture will exclude those who attempt to poison the scripture. Yeah, when you have a healthy culture and it's communicated and it's lived out and it's preached, it's evident, the fruit is there, you will immediately exclude those who want to poison scripture. In other words, they want to put their own emphasis in scripture about their personal lifestyle, what they want for culture, what they want for your church, what they believe theologically. And the way we word this is it's self-guided spirituality. And so we had a situation like this. We had a young couple who was a part of our church for several years, honestly, but we really didn't have a culture. And I mean, it was like the day we really started establishing culture and I taught on our culture, our cultural values, we began to live it out. Man, it's like every demon in hell was like, I don't like this. I like to have freedom here. But all of a sudden there were these guardrails and it was like, this is our culture. This is what we believe. And so unfortunately, we had a conversation with this young couple, and they believed something that was totally opposite of scripture. And when we had conversation, not me myself, but we had team members who had conversations with them about this, we did not force them out or anything like that. We said, hey, let's have a couple conversations around this, outlined what we believe in scripture, said, hey, our culture is, we don't do self-guided spirituality. In fact, one of our cultural values, I'll tell you, is we're all about the real Jesus. And what that means is we don't do self-guided spirituality. We don't make things up based on how we feel. We follow the real Jesus of the Bible, full of truth and full of grace. And so we presented this to him. He said, hey, this idea is unscriptural. We want you to understand this is actually condemnational. It's hurtful toward people. And you're trying to affirm lifestyles and sinful things that the Bible says is not of God. And so we're not going to allow you to teach that in this church. We're not going to allow you to confirm that for other people. As someone, because they were serving in our church, we said, as a team member in this church, we're asking that you already committed to say you believe what we teach, and now you're telling us you don't. And so, long story short, one of them came up to me one time after a service, tears in their eyes, and I just preached a message about the understanding of the Word of God. And they said, you know, hey, I feel like I need to find a church that, this is the way she worded it, I need to find a church that better fits my theology. What is that? That's self-guided spirituality. Because we had a culture that said, we don't do self-guided spirituality. We don't do personal theology. We do what scripture teaches us. Immediately, they realized this ain't the church for us anymore. Why? Because we established a culture. A healthy culture will exclude those who will attempt to poison scripture based on their self-guided spirituality. Now, of course, you always want to minister to those people, and we gave them several options. We had a lot of conversations, but the end result was it was their decision to walk away because they wanted a church that allowed them or matched up with their personal theology. Number three, a healthy culture will exclude those whom God needs elsewhere. Again, not everybody's called to your church. God doesn't want everybody at your local church. There's other local churches for a reason. And when you have a healthy culture, you actually can help people who are not supposed to be in your church find the church that God wants them to be in. We had this couple recently who visited the church, really nice, had several kids with them. And the first time I met them, they began to tell me how they were foster parents and they had adopted a couple kids, and they were coming from another church and they were looking for their next church. They believed that God was drawing them somewhere else. And so one of the things that the wife said to me was, we're looking for a church that really highly values and has ministry for foster parents and adoptive parents. And we really want to be a part of a church like that. And as soon as they said that, I knew that's not us, and that's okay. And so I explained, I said, listen, I love that you're here. You're more than welcome to sit here during your transition. We'll love you. You can be a part of our team, whatever. But I just want to let you know, if you're looking for a church and you believe that God's called you to minister through the realm of fostering and adoption, and you're looking for a church that's going to back you up and resource you and all that, it's not us. Because that's not what God has called us to do as a local church specifically. It's not to say that we don't believe in that. We, of course, support that. We want people to do that. But that's not something we're going to focus our full attention on, because that's not what God's called us to do. Man, it was a healthy conversation. She said, oh my gosh, thank you for letting me know. They came a couple more times as they were transitioning, and then they moved on and found a church that valued what they valued. In other words, God was trying to use them to minister to foster parents and adoptive parents and help orphans. And that is a great God-given mission ministry for a couple, but it just is not something that we're going to invest our resources in and really celebrate week to week. And because of that, because our culture was already defined, because we were able to have a healthy culture, we didn't say, never come back, and they didn't say, we'll never be back. They said, thank you for this honesty. We need to find a church that really fits this value for us. Man, that is healthy culture. That's building the kingdom of God together. But a healthy culture will help you exclude those whom God needs elsewhere. Imagine if they had stayed here. They would have been frustrated. They would have felt dismayed. They would have felt like they're unqualified for ministry. Why? Because they want to do this thing, but their church isn't coming behind them. Why? Because it's not one of our values in our culture right now to invest in our resource or use our resources to invest in that. So now they're somewhere where they can flourish, they can grow, they can be successful in their personal ministry because we have a healthy culture. Number four, healthy culture is a signal to those whom God has called to help you steward the mission and vision. Let me say it again. A healthy culture is a signal. It's a lighthouse. It's a signal to those whom God has called to help you steward your specific mission and vision, the local church's mission and vision. We have people who have been a part of Revive Church, where I pastor, for over a decade now. They've been with us since day one. And the reason is because we have a culture that stewards the mission that we have and the vision that we have, and they're bought into that. They're all in on that, and they want to be a part of this. It's a signal to them, hey, this is what God's called me to do as well. This is a driving force in my life. And so I want to be committed here because the culture is driving the mission and the vision. I want to steward that in my own life. When you have a healthy culture that backs up and supports the mission and vision, the right people are going to come into your church, and God's going to open their eyes to see the fruit of your of how you're living out your culture. And they're going to want to be a part of it. But you have to have a healthy culture that is defined through your values. Last but not least, this is a hard one, and so I'm going to take a few minutes on this. A healthy culture will label you a cult to those who are opposed to you. A healthy culture will label your local church as a cult or cultish to those who are opposed to you. Now, I want you to think about this. The name cult is literally in the word culture. Cult, culture, C-U-L-T. It's literally right there in the beginning. A culture essentially is establishing an organization, what our values are, how we're going to operate, how we're going to steward the mission and the vision. And people who oppose the gospel, people who oppose God, people who oppose purpose over preference, they are going to establish your ministry as a cult. They're going to establish your local church as a cult. Now, it doesn't mean you should operate like a cult. Let's just make it clear. If you tell people in your church that they are not allowed to talk to other people who have left your church, you're probably a cult. If you stand up and you start preaching, you're the anointed one, and anybody who leaves your church is cursed because they have touched the Lord's anointed, you're probably a cult. If you use the pulpit and the holy altar of God to gossip about people and confront people, you're probably a cult. But a healthy church who has clear values, clearly defined, clearly lived out values, has a healthy culture that is forwarding their mission and vision. Every person who is anti-scripture, anti the purpose of God for your local church, will say, oh, that's just a cult. Why? Because you have guardrails for how you operate. You have established clearly, this is what we are going to do to be effective for the kingdom. So don't be shocked and surprised when you begin to exclude people and they call you a cult. It comes with the territory. You're going to have to get some thick skin, but what you don't do is you don't change your values to fit somebody's offense. Ever, never, ever, never, ever. You never change your values or your culture to fit somebody's offense or to dissuade somebody's or ease somebody's offense. It's not about that person. So if somebody comes at you and says, you're a cult because you believe we can't do self-guided spirituality, and I believe that I should be able to choose, I believe you should be able to choose too. This is America. It's a free nation. Do whatever you want. You have a free will. God gave it to you. But in our church, we're not going to preach self-guided spirituality. We're going to preach following the real Jesus. And because we have a culture that lives that out, when people come in, they might try once, they might try it twice, but by the third time, they're going, nah, this ain't the church for me. Why? Because they have values that don't line up with my values. Now, on the plus side, again, I want to go back to this. On the plus side, because we have a healthy culture, we have people who are agnostic, atheist, whatever. They'll come in and they'll take the time because the Holy Spirit draws them in and begins to soften their heart. And when they see the health that's coming out of our church, the fruit that's coming out of it, man, it intrigues them. And that gives us an opportunity to minister to them, help them grow spiritually, and be introduced to the real Jesus. But again, it goes back to having a healthy culture. So that's just my quick talk about this. I want to jump into values, but not in this episode. I'm going to hit that the next episode. So we'll build on this and talk more about the cultural values of your church, How do you create them? How do you curate them? And how do you communicate them? And why you need a healthy culture. But before I end this episode, I just want to tell you a little bit about the journey I've been on for the past few weeks as I've taken a break from the podcast and learning how to do this better and figuring out what I can do better. And so I want to tell you, I'm going to be pivoting the podcast as a whole. Right now, I'm working with someone from our church who's a graphic designer. He's going to help me rebrand the whole thing. I like what we have, but I just feel like I need to take it a different direction as I move forward. And I know it's not that old of a podcast, but I figure why not do it now? So I'm going to pivot a little bit with new branding, a new logo. And then I'm also going to pivot. Instead of me just in front of a camera, I am looking right now to build a studio in our church. Our church is wanting to do this as well. So we're going to use it for church purposes, but I'd be able to record. And I'd actually like to start interviewing some guests. I worked this past few weeks on several different topics that churches have complicated and that local churches have found confusion in. And so I want to bring in some guests, interview them, and help or allow them to teach us how we can simplify things. And then from time to time, I'll have episodes where it's sprinkled in where I'm talking to you, we're having a conversation. I'll also have some supplemental stuff on YouTube as well. But again, I want to bring guests in, interview them, and give them an opportunity to share what God's put on their heart and how we can simplify the church together. This also means that I'll be moving from a week to week format to a month to month format. This will give me the freedom to really focus in on the information I want to present, the best quality value for you as a viewer or a listener, as a part of the Church Made Simple team. I really want to give you the best value. And I don't think I can do that week to week, especially because I'm still pastoring full-time and I'm a full-time husband and a full-time dad. And so I want to make sure that I give you the best. And I think month to month will help with that. I'll also be establishing a nonprofit ministry. I had a conversation with a friend and he said, you know, the best thing you can do right now, because this is ministry focused, if you really want to be more impactful for the kingdom, especially legally, it'd be better if you had a nonprofit ministry. That way you could run your podcast through that and it would be established as a ministry for churches. And that would be, I think the way he was saying is churches might be more inclined to work with you or listen to you if they know you're a ministry for churches, not a business for churches. And so I really want to do that because I do feel like I'm called to minister to churches through this podcast. And so we'll be setting that up as well. But here's the reason I tell you all that is because I could really use your support in this, especially your financial support. So there's a couple things I'm asking if you would do. Number one, please pray for me. I need wisdom. I need guidance. I need direction, but also pray for the right people to come into contact with me. I've got some feelers out there right now. I've got some friends who are in ministry around the nation. And I'm asking them, hey, is there anybody you could connect me with? So please pray that we get the right guests for this podcast with valuable information for the local church, how we can simplify things in the local church. Number two, I'm asking if you would consider financially supporting the podcast. All these things that I'm talking about are going to cost some money. And so I'm investing in this right now out of pocket, but I would love your financial support to start out, to really hit that ground running would be helpful. And so if you would like to donate financially, again, this is not a ministry right now, so it's not a tax write-off, it's not tax deductible, but you can give through the Cash App, $ Church Made Simple. And that just the easiest way, however much you want to give through that. And so we'll be keeping a tally and that money will go right back into helping us establish these things I just talked about. We're going to look to upgrade some equipment. We're going to look to, again, interview some other people. And because some of these people will be out of state, I won't be able to have them in the podcast studio that we're going to build. So instead, I have to do it online, which means I have to have another platform or another resource to record with. So it's long. The ministry itself, establishing the ministry is going to cost something as well. So if you would give into this, I'd really appreciate us, or I'd really appreciate you helping us get these first few steps going. And once it does, I'm telling you, it's going to be so, so stinking valuable. I just am so grateful that the Lord gave me clearer vision for how we could do this. But thank you so much for sticking with me for these 10 episodes that we've started on. Next week, like I said, we're going to talk about the values of your church, and I'm going to help you establish how you create these values. What are the things you need to be looking out for and how you can establish them in your church? So again, you have a healthy exclusionary culture that will be effective for the kingdom and help others be effective in their purpose in what God is calling them to do for their lives. Now, remember, as we close out, I've said this every week, and I really mean it. Making your church simple is not a destination. There's no end goal. This is a journey. every season, we're going to have to tweak things. But I just want to say thank you for allowing me to help guide you and coach you along the way. I hope that you are getting value out of this. And again, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast, rate and review it, and then share it with someone else. Help us get the word out. Support us financially on Cash App. And I will see you in the next episode.